That's awesome, isn't it? Oh, man, that's so good. Appreciate the Cook family and singing tonight. I had to start the clapping. We clap for kids. If you don't know, we clap for if kids are singing, we're going to clap for them. All right? We're going to do it. Otherwise, anyway, we won't go into that tonight. I do think and I believe biblically the audience is God. We got to be careful, right? But kids, awesome. Enjoyed that tonight. It's good to have Brother Weatherby back with us tonight. Brother Weatherby, again, super. I'm going to tell one story because of Jason being here. Man, we had some good marriage conferences in the early days. There was some of y'all here, so some of y'all remember the one at the racetrack. And then we had one over somewhere over there in Fort Worth on off of, anyway, close to White Settlement over there. And that was a cowboy. Remember, that was a cowboy theme. Yeah, Western theme. And John Wayne showed up. It was awesome. I'm letting some of the guys who were there laugh about it because all the rest of you don't know, have a clue. But all that to say, again, for a new church plant as we were, to have a place to go, to have a very good marriage conference and have that opportunity, and for Victor Baptist Church in Weatherford to allow us to slide in there and be a part of that. And so it was amazing in those early days. And Brother Weatherby, your influence in those early days of this church meant so much to me and to the crowd that's here and the crowd that's here now. I mean, we're building upon the foundation, and these men such as Brother Weatherby and Brother Stewart and many others who had such an impact on our church in the early days and continues. Brother Stewart comes every year, and Brother Weatherby has come many times and been here and preached for us in various ways, marriage conferences, family conferences, stewardship conferences, and I appreciate him very much. Come on, Brother.
Say amen. Amen. Boy, what a joy and a blessing. You people are so easy to preach to. I've been to some places, it was work. And this is just fun. It's been a blessing. And boy, Brother Eric, his family, I love them so much. And they've had an impact on my life. And, of course, on the seminary. Thank God for the leadership role that your pastor has played over the years in the Norris Bible Baptist Seminary. And I tell you what, it's been good. Thank you, brother. For a pastor to sacrifice the time and efforts and prayers and work, it's a blessing. And then good to see some of the students that I've taught here tonight encouraged. Brother Stone and Daniel, his family, and Josh over here. I tell you, they're some of the, and I'm not just saying because they're here. I've been teaching there for several years, but they're just some of the best students that I've ever had at Norris. What a blessing they have been. And then my son, I'm glad to have my son with us this morning and tonight. I'm sorry I forgot to introduce you to him. I'm so proud of him, and he stayed the course. He's 50 years old. And the only reason I say that is because a lot of people think we're brothers. But no, he has stayed the course and stayed faithful. And thank God for that. I love him so very, very much. Take your Bible and let's go back to Jeremiah for just a moment. Chapter number 9. Jeremiah. And then we're going to go to Psalms a little bit tonight, and Jeremiah chapter 9, talking and thinking about your theme, trust in Him. And we're usually particular about people we trust, amen? We don't trust strangers. And you know what's sad is to a lot of people, including some Christians, God's a stranger. They don't really know a lot about God. They have a concept in their mind of what little they have. You know, a very close friend of mine for many, many years in heaven now, I was his pastor for a long, long time, and he had a saying that really has taken root in my mind. He used to say, we should not read the Bible to please God. We should read the Bible to know God. And when you read the Bible, say, what can I learn about God? And you know, one of the glories of heaven, oh, and by the way, good to see you, Brother Lee. One of the glories of heaven, because God's eternal, we're going to spend eternity knowing him better and better and better and better. But the point that I made this morning is we trust who we know, and we know who we spend the most time with. That's the ones we know the best, right? And God made us to spend our time with him, not just a little portion of our time, but our life. Amen? And I challenge you this morning to try to get it out of your mind that we're living for Christ, but to shift a little bit further and we're living with Christ, with him, consciously, living with him on a daily basis, all the time. There's never a time that you're without the presence of Christ. But a lot of times we don't acknowledge it. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Amen? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thy understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him. You see, stewardship is letting God into become part of every part of your life, not just your Sunday life. We're stewards. What did I tell you with the four corners of steward were? Number one, God owns everything. Number two, God loans it to you. Everyone here, what you have, God's loaned it to you. He can take it away at any moment. But he's loaned it to you, and it's a loan, and thirdly, he's what? He's watching it. He's watching to see what you do with what you have right now, not what you would do if you had more. What are you doing with what you have right now? That's what God is watching. And he that is faithful over a little, God wants you to be fruitful. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. God's not against you having things, but he don't want things to have you. You see? And God loves to see his children prosper. And prosperity doesn't necessarily mean rich. In a sense, we are rich, of course, but in a greater sense, God wants us to prosper, because you see, prosperity and peace and joy doesn't depend on money. It doesn't depend on people. It doesn't depend on circumstances, you see? And so we trust who we know, and we know who we spend the most time with, and we do that. But as a steward, we come to recognize that God owns it. God's loaned it to me. These things are not mine. God's given me temporarily. He's watching what I do with them. And God rewards faithful stewards. Everybody here is a steward, whether you're a good steward or a bad steward, but you're a steward because you don't own it, okay? And why should God give you more of money or time or health or anything, you name it, if you're wasting what he's given you right now? You see? And God wants us to prosper so much that he even tells us how to prosper, how to take what we have and invest it and use it for his glory. What does the Bible say? Whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And when you begin to glorify God with your time, your money, your car, your home, everything you have, your job, can you glorify God on your job? Absolutely. You know, we live our life. Our life really is basically starts with our heart. Amen. That's the starting place. Out of the heart proceed the issues of life. And then our home. If the devil can hurt you at home, he'll hurt you all over. It'll affect your church and your job and your children and everything else. And that's why the devil hates the family and he hates the home. You'll never, until you get to heaven, the devil's never going to leave your family alone. Ever. And then there's not only the heart and the home, but then there's the church. The church is a great part of our life, isn't it? Amen. I mean, what if you'd never known a church like this church? What if you had never been taught? What kind of life, what would you look like tonight if your life and family had you never gotten saved, or had you never, you got saved, but you didn't get in a Bible preaching, teaching church? Where would you be? And so the church is a big part of our life. And then there's our job, right? I mean, we spend a lot of time. If you go to work, some of us are retired, but if you go to work, I mean, a long day, 4, 5, 6 days a week, that's a lot of time in your life. And God doesn't push pause while you're at work till you get home. God wants you to enjoy Him and experience Him and acknowledge Him while you're working. And can I say this? Our nation affects us, doesn't it? Our heart, our home, our church, our job. But if we love our country, and I love my country, but it's breaking my heart and it's scaring me to death, I'm afraid for the future of our country. I'm not trying to be negative, but again, America has a, we think about it a lot, don't we? Don't we? You think about it every day. You see the news and you wonder, well, what's it going to be like? And what if this happens? And what if that happens? Well, God says, I'll take care of that. You put me first. You honor me. God's always had a remnant. There's never been a time in all of history where there wasn't a saved person around. God has a remnant of people that are saved and that believe Him and are living for Him and trusting Him. And so we need not live in panic or fear. We can trust in Him. That's your theme. Now, in Jeremiah chapter number 9, verse number 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. In other words, it's not all about that. But let him that glorieth glory in this, very specific, that he understandeth and knoweth me. There it is. The better you know God, the more comfortable, the more peace, the more joy, the more victory you're going to have. You're going to be able to not just survive, but thrive. You know, I was talking about our nation a while ago, Pastor, but, you know, if you look back at history, in some of the darkest times, and not just in our nation, but in a lot of nations, but talking about America, when things really get bad and they're during wars and time, the churches began to get filled up. Unfortunately, many times it didn't last long after a war was over. But sometimes God allows things to happen to get our attention. And we know we're living in the last days. We don't even have to guess or think we are. We know that. Jesus said, you can know that. You don't know the time, but you'll know. If you take the Bible and you look at the news and you watch what's happening, you know that Jesus is at the door. And so in one sense, in one sense, this church may have some of its greatest days just ahead. And every Bible-believing church. Because people are going to go to churches where somebody knows what they believe and got some answers. Not just music concerts and rolling around and rapping and raving. They're going to want to find, somebody tell me what's going on. And if he's the right kind of preacher, he'll be able to tell people what's going on. So to know him is to trust him. Now notice he says that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. God loves you. And judgment. God is just. He's always doing the right thing. When you're on God's side, amen. I used to always challenge our people, if we're doing the right thing in the right way for the right reason, you're going to succeed. Maybe not in the eyes of the world. The fact the world may think you're a nut. In fact, they will. They do. They feel sorry for us. Aren't you glad you're not on the other side? That they're feeling sorry for us. But we know the truth. And he's just, but then he says, and righteousness in the earth. God says, that's who I am. I am a God who loves, a God who is just, and a God who is righteous in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now, take your Bible and go to the book of Psalms. And while you're turning to Psalm, let me just lift the verse here from 2 Samuel. It says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. What's a buckler? You'll find that several times in the Bible. Well, just to simplify it for all of us, it's just a shield. It's an individual shield that a soldier carries into battle. And it says that if we are, he is a buckler to them that trusted him. Now, take your Bible. Look in Psalm chapter 5, verse 11. We're going to go very quickly. I just want you to see how prominent this is because we're talking about trusting in him. And, you know, I remember when Jesus asked Peter, are you going to go away? He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Who are you going to go? Who would you trust more than God? Who would you go to get advice and counsel and help? Well, in Psalm 5:11, it says, but let all those that put their trust put, notice the word put, you have to make a decision. You're not pre-programmed. Everybody, lost and saved, everybody has the freedom to choose. No one will say, God, you didn't do this or you didn't do it. Everyone has a freedom to choose. And God wants us to succeed and have victory so much that he gives us the Bible so we'll make the right choices. Now, I know that sounds like kindergarten, but it really isn't. Because our nation is in mass total confusion. They've turned against God. They've turned against the Bible. They've just turned against anything that has to do with God. And the result, confusion. Total confusion. And God's not the author. God is ready and willing and waiting to take control, to take over, and to protect and to provide. You know, this is a little deep theological. I've never quite totally understood it. But there's a place in the Bible that says these words, speaking about Israel, they limited God. I'm working on a sermon, limiting the unlimited God. It sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? How can we limit God if he's omnipotent? Because God gave us a choice. When you choose to do it your way, by yourself, God, I'll call you when I need you. If you're going to go that route, you're going to limit God. Because God's not going to make you do anything. Can you tell me any time in your life that God pushed you and made you do something? Did anybody make you come to church tonight? Did anybody threaten you if you come to church tonight? Did anybody make you give? Does anybody make you read the Bible? No. God gave us a choice, but he gave us the wisdom. You know, I was reading in Deuteronomy 30. It's so amazing. God tells children of Israel, he says, I'm going to lay before you a curse and a blessing. And he says, choose the blessing. Duh. But he didn't make them choose the blessing, but he says, I'll tell you what the right decision is. And yet, so many times we limit God. You see, a steward says, I can trust God with anything, anywhere, anytime. And it simplifies our life. And it puts the burden on God. In other words, God, this is yours. You own me and everything I have. You handle it. God says, well, I've been trying to tell you that for a long time. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, if I could tighten the screws here a few minutes, if I had time, Because a lot of times we as Christians find ourselves always wanting more. I'm not talking about wanting more of God. We want sometimes what the world has. We want what other people have. I mean, how many of you honestly can look deep into your heart tonight and say, I have everything I want because the Lord is my shepherd? I'm not talking about wanting wrong things. I'm talking about contentment. Do you have contentment tonight? When you go to bed, lay that, your head on that pillow, are you just churning because you're anxious and stressed and worried because you don't have this and you don't have that and you don't want to get one of those, you can't do that? Is that the way you're living your life? Again, God's not against you having things and enjoying things. He's given us richly all things to what? Enjoy. Revelation 4 says that we were created for His pleasure. Think about that one for a moment. That God wants to get pleasure out of you. He wants to watch you prosper and smile and praise God and enjoy your family and live a life, the abundant life. God wants that for you, and He wants that for me, and He's no respecter of persons. In Psalm 5:11, let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. I know you've heard it thousands of times. Happiness depends on what happens, but joy depends on Jesus. And Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Everybody wants to be happy, and most of the time we don't really mean it in the wrong way. We as Christians sometimes think of joy and happiness maybe as the same. But Jesus said, I want you to have my joy. Do you have the joy of the Lord tonight? Psalm 34, a few pages over, same book, Psalm 34, verse 22. Psalm 34, verse 22. The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him. What's your theme? Trust in Him. None of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. We're all concerned about the economy, but let me remind you of something. Christians are not, we're on God's economy. Now, we may not understand that. We may not, come on, preacher, get real. Have you seen the price of this and the price of, I understand all that. I'm not minimizing the challenges and the things that we have to struggle. I know that. But since you've been saved, have you ever been desolate? Have you ever had nothing? Has not God provided for you? Maybe not everything you asked for, because God's wiser than you. He knew what would hurt you. But God has taken care of us. His reputation is at stake. He said, I will. Again, we have a choice. If you say, Lord, I think I can take care of myself. A lot of people like that. But God says, I can take care of you. I will take care of you. None shall be desolate. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what does it say? And all these things. What things? Take no thought of what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, what ye shall put on. Put me first. I'll take care of the rest. A lot of people say, sounds good, preacher, but you don't understand my problems. No, the problem is most people don't know their God. They compare to other people and they say, well, this happened. And if God loves me, why did He allow that to happen? And on we go, and there's no end. They don't know. If you know, if you look in the Bible from Genesis and just follow through. By the way, most of the Old Testament is made up of families. It's about families, right? They're named after one after another. And it shows you the good and the bad and the ugly. I mean, it shows what happens to families that honored God, what happened to those that didn't, what happened to those that rebelled. I mean, it's all right there, black and white. Search the scriptures as we read the Bible, and we can see, well, if I do that like he did, that's because, listen, God never changes. Amen. What made God angry 2, 3, 4, 5,000 years ago still angers God today. He has not changed. And how God blessed people that honored him and obeyed him and did right and lived for him. Today, God can still do that today. It doesn't matter what's going on. You belong to God. You're God's property. You've been redeemed. You're in the family. Amen. You can choose to run away on your own like the prodigal son. And God's not going to grab you by the neck and turn you around and kick you. Say, get back home. Because God gives us a choice. But he put that, even that, when Jesus told that parable. So we don't have to, oh, Lord, when I get to the pig pen, I'll start praying and I'll call on you. God says, you don't have to go to the pig pen. You don't have to go that way. It's right there in the Bible. Just read it and do it. I know some of you are thinking, preacher, you don't understand how hard it is. Did you know the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard? Now, Let me rock your chair a little bit here. Are you listening? People think the Christian, it's too hard to be a Christian. No, it's impossible. The Christian life, to live the life that God wants you to live, is impossible. The only way that it's possible. Paul put it like this, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The Christian life. I know there's tribulation and there's difficulties, but Jesus said, I've overcome the world, and I'll fight your battles. I'll forgive your sins and failures. I'll not turn you away from me if you'll turn to me, if you have that choice, or turn back. Some of you are here tonight, and even though you're sitting bodily in the chair and you're in the church, but some of you, your hearts are a long ways away from God. You're just in a habit. And your heart is away from God. You remember Peter followed the Lord, and it says just before he denied him, it said he followed him afar off. He was still following him. He could see him in the distance, but he was following him afar off. How far is far? I don't know. How far are you? I don't know how close you are to God tonight. I don't know most of you, but I do know this. You are as close to God as you want to be. Say, I don't know about that. Well, I do. I do. Because the Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. It doesn't even tell us what the word nigh means. Right? How close do you want to be? You say, well, I want to be closer. Well, why aren't you? God doesn't put up a fence and says, hold it, you're getting too close. You're crowding me. No. He just says, come on. And people decide how close they want to be. You say, well, the devil. I know the devil is, we underestimate the devil terribly. I understand that. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In chapter 37, it says, trust in the Lord. Verse 3, are you in Psalm? Still in the Psalm, just a few pages over? Trust in the Lord and do good. so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Dwell. Don't visit. Live with Christ. Security, provision, protection, fellowship. Are you in fellowship with the Lord tonight? You see, your relationship is different. If you're saved, your relationship will never change. You're related to God through Christ. You're in the family. That's your relationship. Nothing can separate us from the relationship. But are you in fellowship? How can two walk together except they agree? Are you in fellowship? Talk to God about everything? Do you speak to Him in the morning when you first wake up? Do you say goodnight to Him at night? Do you enjoy the things He enjoys? Do you hate the things He hates? Are you in fellowship? I'm just asking. Fellowship. Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Psalm 56:3. If you can move a little faster, we're going to be all in Psalm here. Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Fear is one of our biggest problems. If you go back, remember the stewards, and he gave 1 5 and 1 3, and he gave the one guy one. And the first one invested his and made more. He was a good steward. He didn't just hide it. And he said, well done. And the second one that had the three, he did the same thing. But the one says he hid his. Why? Go back and read it. Matthew 25. He said, I was afraid. Afraid? Don't you know me? Well, yeah, no, not really. I was afraid. Fear is a very powerful thing, but God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. Can I remind you, please, because I don't want to lose you here. I think sometimes when I preach like I'm doing right now, people say, he just doesn't have a clue about my problems and my life. Well, God does know all about your life and all about your problems and all about your fears. He knows. In Psalm 62:8, it says, trust in Him at all times. All times. In fact, He says, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. If we cannot trust God all the time, how do we know we can trust Him anytime? Trust. Trust and obey. Well, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Psalm 71:1. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. You can't be trusting and be in confusion. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. Trust Him with all your heart. James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You can't live 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the will of God. You can't please people and please God at the same time. Double-mindedness, that's what's killing a lot of Christians. That's what's the stress. We're controlled and overcome with stress because we're trying to live two lives. You say, I don't think so. I think we do. Maybe you don't mean to. Maybe you don't sit down and plan it that way. But sometimes your work dictates to you more than God does. Or a host of other things that we don't have time to talk about tonight. Proverbs 30 says in verse 5, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Let me go a little faster because I'm almost out of time. The Bible says in the book of Nahum, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. There's an old song. I think we've sang it out of the seminary once or twice. I don't have the words in front of me, but it's an old song. It's called, "The Darker the Night, the Brighter the Light Shines." You think it's getting dark in America? It is. But the darker the night, the brighter the light. When the lights went out in Egypt during those plagues, darkness, thick darkness, it says. All over the place of Egypt, but hidden in that little chapter in Exodus, it says, but the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. If you'll honor God and put God first in your life, as dark as it may get, you can still have light in your home, light in your heart, light in your church. You can. You will. Because God will not forsake his own. Trust. Luke 16, I mentioned this morning, if therefore ye have not been faithful over the unrighteous man, because money is a test. That's all it is. It's a tool to use for God's glory. It's a trust, but it's a test. And he said, here's the test, and if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Remember, if you didn't get anything I said today, I'd rather you get this. We know we can trust God, but can God trust you? God may have a whole list of blessings and things that he wants to do in your life, and he's waiting to do it. But maybe he don't feel he can trust you. Have you noticed that sometimes the more people have, the less time they have for God? The less they pray. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, when the money's about gone and there's kids and they're hungry and there's needs and things of that sort. Yeah. That's when we pray, but it seems like when there's a little extra money, the car's running. We've got this and that. We got the things we need. I'll catch up tomorrow on my prayers. But when things are in bad shape, we get up, we can't even sleep. We get up in the middle of the night and pace the floor and pray. God says, you don't have to wait till things get bad. Just pray now. Forget the blessing and think about the blesser. God, most people can't handle their blessings. They just can't. God has to keep us in a situation to where we need him. Because God wants to be needed. You know why I know God wants to be needed? Because I like to be needed. And God made me in his image. I like to be loved. So does God. I like to be included. So does God. I like to be wanted. So does God. I like to be appreciated. So does God. He made us like that. In his own image. So what about you tonight? Can God trust you? Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. What we believe is how we live. Everything else is just religious words. I'll close with this. But you remember reading in Ecclesiastes, and there's a little phrase in the book of Ecclesiastes that just keeps popping up over and over again. All is vanity. All is vanity. All is vanity. But do you remember? There's three other words after that, all is vanity. All is vanity under the sun. You say, so? Under the sun is horizontal. Nothing really makes sense and really, really matters until you live vertically. Under the sun, what's the use? And that's where most people live. Their head is down and they're trying to make it under the sun. And the Bible says it's vanity. But when you start living vertically, say, Lord, here I am. And I don't want to just live for you, I want to live with you. By the way, one of these days, we are really literally going to live with him. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. But do we have to wait till we die to get some relief and some peace and some joy and something good out of life? Is that really the way God designed it? Is that what he wants us to do, is to just enjoy the misery until you get to heaven? I don't believe that. In fact, most of the misery we cause on ourselves, God says no. No. Yeah, there's a lot of things in this world we have to put up with till we get to heaven. We know that. But we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, I love, don't you love Psalm 23?
Yeah.
It leadeth me beside the still waters. Are any of those left in the world? Oh, yeah. When you're with Christ, when you're walking and enjoying Christ, he leadeth me beside still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Are there any green pastures around in this whole world we live in? Yes, there is. Spiritually. That's it, spiritually. We got to quit dividing our life into the spiritual and the secular. For the Christian, God wants it all to be spiritual. Amen. Did I help you any tonight? I didn't tell you anything new because I know your pastor and he preaches what I preach. And I preach what he preaches. Because we're preaching out of the same book. Amen. Amen. Would you bow your head and close your eyes?